All right, we're going to reconvene, everybody. Seeking a motion to reconvene.
I'll make that motion.
9:31 by Mr. Higgins.
Second.
Second by Mr. McTiernan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're in session. Okay, moving on to the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Okay. One of the first things we're going to do, and I'll just do the enrollment, the anticipated enrollment report first. And that's at 1584. I will say that at this time of year, most especially, that number is a moving target. People are coming into the buildings every day. I see principals shaking their head at me. People pull out, people move in. And so that number is moving rapidly. So usually somewhere, or it settles around the 1600 number, but we'll see what happens this year. We'll see what happens as enrollment moves this month in particular. I would also like to introduce, is he here?
He's coming.
Here he comes.
He's coming back in. All right. I would like to talk a little bit about our vice principal recommendation. Mr. Michael May, is the recommendation that I'm making to the board for the vice principal of Round Valley School. We did have a committee process. Actually, Michael participated in a number of committees that included one committee was the we had a board member on the committee and some parents and teachers. We had another committee of administrators, another committee of teachers at the school. Michael really was stellar throughout and really gave us quite a struggle in agonizing about how we could get him as soon as possible. So let me tell you a little bit about Michael. I'll brag about him a little bit. He's an experienced administrator and vice principal from Hackettstown Middle School. He is also a highly qualified teacher in language arts and mathematics, and is very experienced as an inclusion teacher. So he has a great deal of experience in giving workshops in inclusion and working in it for a number of years himself. He earned a Bachelor of Arts from Montclair State University and a Master's of Science in Educational Administration from the University of Scranton. He also has experience on an Intervention and Referral Services Committee and School Safety Committee. He's written core curriculum standards for his district, updated and revised them. And he has some specific experience that our fourth and fifth grade language arts teachers are looking for in terms of working with a school report card that reflects a standard-based approach. So he worked on that in his district and helped teachers, administrators, and parents adjust to all of the changes. I'd also like to say that what we experienced with Michael was a very positive and energetic gentleman who dearly loves his family. And one of the things that impressed me in his cover letter that actually made me bring him in for the very first interview, and I don't think Michael knows this actually, is that he talked about the importance of his school family and how much he wanted to work somewhere where he could have that experience and bring people together through collaboration and creating a welcoming environment where all students could learn. And as many of our teachers here know, I've spoken to them a number of times about the importance of our school family and how we build relationships and work together. So that's the first thing that I noticed in his cover letter, and that brought him forward and through all the different committees. And we were really tough because I will say that we had some fabulous, fabulous candidates for the vice principal position. We really had some strong people applying and interviewing, and we really had to think carefully about who would be able to bring the most to Round Valley School and be the best fit. And so I'm recommending Michael, and he has very, very strong references, and the committees were very much in favor of choosing Michael and bringing him to Round Valley as a good fit for students and staff. So I recommend him to the Board of Education tonight. We'll get to it in personnel a little bit later, and hopefully welcome you after the board votes. I would also like to now introduce our Director of Technology, Jason Weber. He's going to share some information about the training and working you through Google Docs a little bit. He won't be able to train you all tonight because that would take a little bit longer than tonight will provide, but he is ready to give you some information about what we've been doing with the process. So, Mr. Weber, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Good evening. So, earlier this month, we were able to take 50 teachers, including new teachers during their orientation, and put them through the paces of training on Google Apps for Education. We did the cut over to Google Apps during July of this summer. And when we did this training, there's so much breadth and depth to Google Apps. We tried to break it apart and demonstrate two things. One, the how-to, but more importantly, the why. Why you can and should use this technology in the classroom. And instructional technology, the value proposition of it is that it makes things either more efficient, more effective, or both. So what we really try to focus on, not just how to use it, but the art of the possible. And what can be done in the classroom, and you know, make it not just nuts and bolts of the technology, but give teachers some inspiration. So after going through it five times, each stint roughly 5 hours, you guys will get the condensed version. We as instructors made a lot of progress, and at the end of each session, there was a lot of chatter among the teachers, and I already know that it's out there and people are talking about ways to use it. I know a lot of teachers have plans day one how they're going to roll this out. And so what I want to show you is just really one aspect of Google Apps for Education. And it's one of the crown jewels when it comes to its use in the classroom, and that's Google Forms. At the heart of it, Google Forms is simply a means to collect data. We're always talking about data. We need data for this, data for this. One of the issues with that is while there's been tools around forever easily accessible for analyzing data, namely spreadsheets and databases, In education, collecting data has kind of been an archaic process. I'm going to show you really at a very base level. And I'm sorry we don't have a better way to present this, but if you can turn around and look at this. This is simple sign-in form. And this is something that we actually, on the second day of training, we said, listen, we're doing what we've always done. We're handing out a paper sign-in form. What happens to that paper form? Well, the teachers fill it out. Thanks, Kevin. The teachers fill it out. They send the paper to the curriculum office. It gets put into a spreadsheet. The hard copy gets filed. Sometime at the end of the year, Bobby's office has to tally up professional development hours. And it's really, in terms of us practicing what we preach, this is a very simple operation, but that could be made more efficient by doing it online. So this is kind of a low-order use. This is a simple form. The teachers came in. We had a do now on the board that said go to this web address. They put in their name, the date, check the school they're at, and what we wind up getting from that is a spreadsheet that not only is correct in that we don't have to transcribe handwritten notes, but it's instantaneously shared with all the relevant parties, and it's something that's archived. So this is what that this is the form the teacher saw. This is what it looks like when we're building it. It's very simple, and if you've ever used any survey tools, so I know the board uses Survey Gizmo, I believe it is. There's Survey Monkey and SchoolWires. We had a survey tool. It's the same thing. You can set up a bank of questions, and you can dictate where those responses to the questions go. So even something low level like this, and when I say low level, I mean this it can be used for organizational items in your classroom, whether it's taking lunch counts or tracking who's returned permission slips. We've also had some discussions through the superintendent. We have an ongoing discussion with the board attorney about could this be used in lieu of a signed permission form. So does you know, can this work for that? Yes.
Is Google Docs capable of sharing information? For example, looking at that form, can I put in my name and identifier, et cetera, and then Google Docs populate such things as where I teach, where I do whatever other information you want?
Yes, with some back-end work. And what I'm going to do is build on this example. But again, this is a very quick, very easy example. And what it looks like on the back end, I'm going to go in here and see our responses. It just dumps into a spreadsheet. So these are the teachers who attended. We have a timestamp, so you know, this way you can tell if somebody put it in after the fact. Would be useful if you were using this in a classroom. Or if you're using it for homework and you wanted to see when the student actually accessed the form. And it even will automatically capture their CTSD username. So we're going to go to a little more advanced example. And this is this was a needs assessment that we offered for some of our trainees. What we did was we started by having them fill out an online forum, talk about what they wanted to accomplish instructionally this school year. And then immediately thereafter, we had them fill out this assessment. This assessment, it's much longer, much more complex. You can see there's different question types, including some grid questions, fill in the blanks. Now, those of you who have worked in education, especially been teachers, you're used to filling out surveys. You probably fill out a good 5-10 a year. And they come from all different places. They come from your administration. They might come from peers who are using it for graduate work. They come from vendors. They come from the state and other organizations. One of the biggest issues with that when you fill out a survey is you don't see that immediate feedback. So there's kind of a detachment. And the reason there's that detachment between your response and any action is that these take time to analyze. They take time to be actionable. So what we showed to our trainees was something really cool about Google Apps. Not only is it a very easy way to collect data, a very easy way to set up these forms, but I'm going to go in here into my responses, and instantly it will give me a summary of responses. We did this in near real time with the staff. So seconds after they finished filling this out, we were able to go in here and learn what they were telling us. And the promise we made to them was we tailored the rest of the professional development day based on their needs. So it's one thing if you see that you have a lot of teachers who have fewer than 3 years' experience versus if you have teachers that, on average, have over 10 years' experience. We could see what technologies they currently use. We can see what they consider to be the hurdles. And this was all instantaneous. This required no programming on my part. This didn't require any spreadsheet knowledge. It's just a click of a button. So when you have the ability to very easily collect data, and when you have the ability to analyze that data almost instantaneously, you now have a very powerful instructional tool. And I keep saying, oh, this was quick, this was easy. I'm going to actually take you through, from scratch, building an assessment in Google Forms here. So I say from scratch. I already have my content. So I've been teaching for a while. I have questions ready. I have hard copy quizzes. I'm going to go into my Google Drive. And we had staff do this. I'm going to create a form. I actually don't want to be in a shared folder. I'm going to create a form. and it lets me pick a theme. We'll just pick something subtle, and we'll call this our demo quiz. And now I can put in my questions. By default, it's giving me just one multiple choice question. So I'm going to go to my old hard copy here, and I'm going to start just copying and paste. So first I have my questions, just a sentence, we worked hard all week. I'll paste that in. And then we're asking them to define the word hard in that sentence as an adjective or an adverb. Put my response bank in. First question done, and we're going to mark this as required. I'm going to add a second item. And this is a simple order of operations question. I did on purpose pick a couple different subject areas and a couple different grade levels. And we're just going to say, ask them what the expression is equal to. And we want this in multiple choice. Now, this is a multiple choice. I could make it a fill-in, the blank. But in this case, the distractors actually work for me because you can see how the student is processing the order of operations. And lastly, we're going to add an image in here. This might be for a younger grade. So I've got this pre-made picture of a clock. And we're going to put a question below that. All right, just that simple, we created a very quick assessment. Now, some other housekeeping items here. We can only make this available to people that have a Clinton Township address, and by default that's on, so we're going to keep that on. We can automatically collect their usernames, so we're going to do that since we don't have, I didn't put a name field in there. And down here we have some other options, just the message they get. So we can say your response has been recorded. You know, please now go and read, and just give a website. I'll just put the district site on there. And I'll spell it correctly. Okay. I'm going to take a quick look. This is what my form looks like. This is what students will see. Pretty quick, pretty easy. And last thing I'm going to do is going to tell it where I want my responses. I'm going to tell it I want it to go into a spreadsheet. It's just going to take a second here and set up my spreadsheet. And now, for all intents and purposes, my assessment's created. So I didn't know what time I started, but that was maybe 4 minutes. Have the content. I know my way around this, but you see there's relatively few options to setting this up. So here's then when the power comes into it. I'm going to send it to our leadership team and also our district technician, Ms. Helmstetter. I can customize a message. I'm just going to send that to them now. Now, students don't have email, so we're not going to email students forms, but teachers have wikis. They now have access to Google Sites. They can post shortened URLs. So this is something that they can post on the board as a do now. This is something they can post on their wiki site. This is even something they can push out to certain student machines. So right now, our administrators should have received an invitation to come and take my assessment. And if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and answer it. And you can kind of get some random answers wrong, just so we can see what that looks like.
See if we get some right and wrong.
Yeah, actually, that's just to give them plausible deniability. So.
No answer.
No. Please keep your eyes on your own paper.
Jason?
There's no right answer.
Yeah, I believe every answer to question two will be wrong. That's 6 times 14, isn't it?
6, 7, 10,
oh, okay.
I'm sorry to say that.
But actually, that's good. I should have made that wrong. It's interesting, and we'll look at this in a second. If you watch up here, and if you blinked, you missed it. I see instantly how many responses. Somebody else just submitted their test. Real time. It's coming in instantly. Maybe a couple seconds delay while it goes to the cloud and comes back. So as I'm setting this up,
they're waiting.
I can then go in here. Now, class.
You know, you had to work tonight.
So we saw the summary of responses when we were looking at a survey. Now I'm going to look at this as if this was assessment. Let me zoom out of here.
Well, they all got the first one wrong.
Well, this is saying, so everybody got the first question right. I am seeing this again. No programming. You saw me do this start to finish. Nobody had the answers beforehand. And we can see here how people have answered. And all right, so everybody got the first two correct. But then we come down here. As the instructor, I see, I've got a problem. I need to address this content again or address it in a different way, or there might be an issue with my question. So, Kevin, to your point, when you thought that was a plus sign, we actually had we missed an important word in a question. We were saying which one is not the correct answer. And everybody got it wrong. So as soon as we hit this button, we said, oh, okay, we know everybody didn't get it wrong. There's something wrong with that question. But in terms of being able to do really rapid checks on learning, this is a wonderful tool. I could conceivably come in before the students are in, you know, sipping my coffee and build that assessment and then deliver it in the first few minutes of class and know exactly where my students stand. Something I can send home as homework to give me an idea of where I'm starting tomorrow. I could use this as more summative assessment if I wanted to use this as an actual quiz. But it gets even deeper. We can take this even deeper. So here, this is just a summary of my responses. So this is great when I'm looking at my class in aggregate. And we have tools to do this now. If you've ever heard of the Clickers or the Sentios, so these classroom sets of these response systems, it's like something, you can just vote A, B, C, or D on them. But they take a lot of setup, and they have to be personalized for each teacher and each set of questions. This is something that is accessible to everybody at every grade level. I'm going to go in here into my responses, and I'm going to view the responses. And give me one second to go back in here. I just need to reset my spreadsheet in one second. So I'm going to go and look at the responses. Yes, new spreadsheet. Okay. And I can make this assessment self-grading. Let's take a second while it's setting that up. So for question one here, our response is we're looking for adverb. Ms. Helmstetter, can you submit a response and get question one wrong? She hasn't taken the assessment yet. While she's doing that, I'm going to put in a very simple spreadsheet formula. I'm just going to say if the answer here equals adverb, then I'm going to give the student a point. Otherwise, I'm going to give the student 0 points. I picked the wrong. I'm sorry, hang on. That should be C2. There we go. Now, everybody got that, who got that answer correct is going to get 1 point. If you notice while I was typing that, Kelly's response pulled up. I can then go down here, and it's going to flag that as a zero. Now, if I set this up to be 100 points or, you know, 3 points, whatever the appropriate scale is, I can not only see what questions the students missed, but I can instantly grade them and have a summary total here. And this is something where if I set this sheet up at the beginning of the day, all I have to do as other students take this assessment is drag down my existing formula, and it'll populate all the cells below it. But taking it even a little bit further, you know, when we talk about collaboration, this is something where we don't expect every teacher to individually go out and build their own assessments. I mean, as it is now, there's a lot of collaboration at the team level, at the grade level, about their instruction. So we have another ability here, and that's to collaborate on building these assessments. So I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to invite Mrs. Helmstetter and Mr. Jaw. Send them an email to not take the exam, but to collaborate on it. And this is something that is all throughout Google Docs. If you watch here in the top right, they're logging in right now. And if you look at the color codes here, kind of there's a pink and an orange, we can see where they're working. So we can have one person working on this typing. We can be collaboratively editing it. We can be in it real time at the same time, or we can all work on it at different times. Kelly, can you, where it says our demo quiz in the heading, can you give us something a little more descriptive? Our simple demo. Thank you. That was excellent. So she's able to make the changes while we're on here. And this, again, it goes all throughout the Google Apps suite of services. So whether it's spreadsheets, whether it's forms, whether it's drawings or documents, you can have this collaborative editing. This is something else we're not going to get in here now, but we showed teachers how they can do this on a peer-to-peer basis. We also showed them how they can either collaborate with their students or have students collaborate with one another. This was admittedly a very quick rundown, but just to show you what the tools are and that they're accessible to just about any technical skill level. But think about other applications for this. We show this as kind of a multiple choice assessment. It can be a reading log. It can be a reflection journal. We could use this. You can make a set of something akin to flashcards. Lab data collection we talked about using middle school science. And the beauty of it is it's instant. It's instantly shared with the teacher. And it's curated. So there's always a record of it. So if you're talking about written journals, if you're talking about written assignments, if you're talking about homework that's done, that is done and it's gone. When you do it on here, it lives with the student's account, and we can always go back and see the progress they've made. There's one other thing I want to do with this form and really take it to the end conclusion. So having student answers in the spreadsheet is great. It allows me as the teacher to give feedback. But wouldn't it be better if the test could give the student the feedback on its own?
Can you just speak up, because now the rain is...
Sure. And there's a little bit of a ringing. Kelly, can you turn it up a little bit? So what if the test, what if the assessment could give student feedback on their own? So it truly becomes formative, and it's even something that makes it, if it's something done as homework, much more meaningful. Because now, you know, if they're getting help from mom and dad, they can participate and understand what's happening. We can go in here, and I'm going to go back into my form, and I can take this first question, adjective or adverb. And underneath it, I'm going to add, let me go to the bottom here. I'm going to add, keeps jumping around. I'm going to add a page break. I'm going to move this page break up here. There we go. And I'm going to call this adverb correct. And I'm going to make another one, call it adverb incorrect. And on this page, I'm going to add, I have to add them at the bottom here. I'm just going to add a header. And I'm going to put in here, I'm going to add a description as to why the answer was correct and why it is incorrect. And I'm going to put these on their appropriate pages. This is a little more involved, but all it takes is a little bit of planning. And so what I'm going to do here is go back to our item, and we have this neat little option for multiple choice answers, go to page based on answer. So if they say adjective, I'm going to send it to adverb incorrect. And if we say adverb correct. Now I'm going to go in and take the assessment. So here's my first page. If I say, I think that's an adjective, and I hit, maybe I have it in the wrong spot. Give me a second. Let's see that. So adjective, go to adverb, incorrect. Okay, now it's saved. Let's try that again. So if I say adjective, and it didn't do, I say, well, this is the danger of doing something live on the fly. But the logic is in there for the survey to say, doesn't seem to be saving my change. I can say, look, based on your answer, I'm going to send you to a page with explanatory text. In something like, in a question like this, where it's a 50-50, you want to make sure the student isn't just taking a guess. So even if they get it right, I'm going to send them to a page that's going to explain to them, you got it right, here's why it's the right answer, here's why the other answer is wrong, and then send them on the next question of the test. If they got it wrong, well, we can explain why they got it wrong. I can even build in the logic to say, hey, you got this one wrong, and give them another practice question of the same ilk. So again, pretty simple. We had a little bit of a snag with that saving, but very powerful. I mean, this really, we talk about flipped classroom, and we talk about taking the delivery of content and doing it online, and spending more time talking about the qualitative aspects of the content. This really allows you to do this. So it can be done summation at the end of the day, it can be done in preparation for the day, but it provides a continuous feedback loop between the teacher, what the teacher is teaching and what the students are learning. There's a ton of uses for this, and we've only begun to scratch the surface. Differentiation is a huge opportunity with this software. So now I can quickly and easily make assessments for different aptitudes and different abilities in my classroom and push those assessments. We have certain tools that can do this. We can push assessments to students based on their groupings. And everything is done just between the student and the teacher. I talked before about homework. You know, if you have middle schoolers, sometimes math homework comes back and you might even have an answer key in the book. Well, why is the answer X? You know, if it's a skill you haven't used in 20-odd years, you might not know it. If the teacher sends home an assessment in this format, then you can help your student, the student can help themselves to learn, you know, the whys of the answer, not just if they got the answer right or wrong. So that's the abbreviated 15-minute version, one aspect of Google Apps for Education. If you've got any questions.
What were the teacher's response or reaction to this?
Very good. We had a couple teachers who were jumping out of their seats with it. One used a collaborative writing lesson, and she's going to use that for one of her first weeks of school. We had some interesting when we were talking about providing feedback from if they use any of these assessments. One very interesting idea came from one of our 8th grade language arts teachers, Chuck Roberto. He suggested you can, in your spreadsheet, you can put the correct answer and even run out mail merge. So after the assessment's done, here's an individualized report for you on your assessment, not just these were right, these were wrong, but you got these right and wrong, and here's why. In the younger grades, that can be used as something that can be sent home. It makes for a nice little communication home with the parents. But overall, it was generally positive. I think even after 5 hours, people were a little bleary-eyed, but realized that there's a lot more to go. Being that we dealt with 50 staff members, that's roughly a quarter of our teaching staff. So that's like a very good seed to start with, but there's just so much more to go, and this is going to be an ongoing endeavor throughout the year.
What grade would this assessment be able to be used at, starting at what age?
Really any. One of the questions we got, I think it was during the new teacher orientation, was, well, how am I going to use this with my students that can't type? And Bobby, Tim, Kelly, and I were in back, and we kind of laughed, and it was a very dynamic training, so we spent a few minutes and said, okay, here's some examples. One of the biggest issues, one of the biggest looming challenges for the district is the PARC assessment, which in third grade, students are going to be taking this online. We've talked at length about this, that, you know, we want students comfortable in the context of assessment on the computer. Okay, but what if they can't type? And are we going to offer formal typing classes, and how are they going to have practice here? Well, you can do something as simple as, and I'll show a question, and this was actually Bobby's idea. We talked about how simple can you make a question like this to really get typing in. So we talked about the student typing their name or just typing some at words. Her suggestion was just something like this. Type the following. If I could type the following. And that's it. So we're just getting the student used to pressing keys on the keyboard. We can, if you saw, we had the one, I had the example with the clock. We also did a couple samples with pictures of faces showing different emotions, you know, and is this person happy, sad? And that's something that can even be teacher-led. In fact, since we moved all the iPads down to Spruce Run, this works wonderfully. Google services in general, but Google Drive and Google Forms work wonderfully with the iPads because now you kind of have touch-enabled flashcards and touch-enabled assessment, and students don't need to log in. They're attached to the teacher's account. So you can do things like, we were talking even about finding your way around the school. It's really simple for a teacher, for instance, to go out through Spruce Run on their iPad, take pictures of certain areas of the building and label them and push them up there, and now it's available for the students to look at. The teacher can display those on the wall. She can make assessments about them. The assessments don't have to be done as individual tests. They can be teacher-led and group assessments. We try to show varying, because we're going to have some rooms that have full classroom sets, and we'll have some rooms that maybe have three computers or only have sporadic access to more than a handful of computers. When we did this for the staff, we demonstrated things that can be done in centers, in small groups, all the way up to full class. But there are definitely, I think we came up with 4, 5, 6 different ways to use this for younger grades.
Thanks.
Jason, is this is rolled out, adopted, and moved forward within the school system, because now you're at 50 and they've got to roll that out and use that more. What does the board need to be aware of for future considerations to support the adoption or the implementation of this technology?
This has to be a holistic effort. So technology and curriculum and the building administration and the rest of the district administration. And to that end, in this training, this was done by buildings, so all the building administrators were there to answer questions and support the endeavor. But this is not a one and done. Here, we've rolled this out, we've showed you the training, it's done. You want to have expectations, and the expectation should be a deliberate change in instruction, and not necessarily wholesale saying, oh, we've got some new technology, so we should be changing things. But where we've made the investment in classroom sets, so specifically language arts, as we get into the school year, we want to be looking in our curriculum and instruction mapping tool, Atlas, to see, okay, you know, where are we applying these? What kind of feedback are we getting? We're going to want to get that quantitative feedback. We're also going to get qualitative feedback from the staff. You know, and we should be looking at not only what's happening now, but we originally talked about this as a two-year endeavor because we have plans for what we're going to do in sixth grade language arts and push these down. And it ties in with the budget. It ties in with instruction. So you want to be looking for usage and progress. And I think we've made a very good start. You know, we've got a good seed, and we have a lot of excitement right now. The challenge is to keep that going while we have to meet all our other obligations. There's no other questions. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, thank you very much, Jason. That was great.
Just a comment that the implementation of Google has not been easy for me as a board member. I just want to let you know that Jason and I worked on that today. Jason was very helpful and has resolved all of the issues that I was facing and all been fixed, and it's now working, which is fantastic.
Great. Good.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Clark, does that conclude your report?
Yes, it does. I'm a little worried about our administrators here. I know they're waiting to see Michael's approval, but they all have workshops everybody's doing tomorrow. So if it's at all possible, Mr. President, to move the personnel item for the hiring of the vice principal forward a bit, and if we could release them. So that they could go home and get a little sleep for tomorrow morning. I know some of our board members are going to be here early tomorrow morning, too. But unfortunately, I can't release you.
Okay, we can certainly do that. ML, can I move forward a single action item or two action items, or do I need to do the whole section?
I think you can do it however you want to do it, as long as you get back to the items,
okay.
And then you make clear for the record which items are being voted on.
Don't we have to move on the report, though?
We still have to move the superintendent's report, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I'm seeking a motion on 14SU002.
So moved.
By Mrs. McLaughlin, and
second.
By Mrs. Grant.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving along to public comments. This is the first public comment section of the meeting. If anybody from the public would like to speak to the Board of Ed at this point in time, I'd ask you to please approach the mic and restrict your comments to agenda items only, and try to keep your comments to 3 minutes if possible. Any comments on agenda items only? There will be additional public recognition later in the meeting. Okay, seeing no comments at this time, we're moving on to first recognition of the public. This is an opportunity for anybody from the public to speak to the Board of Education about any topic. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. We just ask that you approach the mic and introduce yourself. Okay, seeing nobody on first recognition of the public, we're moving on. Actually, why don't we go ahead and do the PNN action items at this time. So we're going to leave first recognition of the public, and we're going to go to personnel negotiation action items. And I need a little help here.
Action item 14. PN 145.
Is it just a single?
045.
Is it just a single action item, Dr. Clark? Okay.
Can we just do the whole report, or do we have to do it?
We'll go back.
We'll go back.
We're just going to do the one item.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah. I just figured we do the whole thing.
Okay. So I'm seeking a motion on action item 14 PN 045.
So moved.
By Mrs. McLaughlin, and a second.
Second.
By Mr. McTiernan. Is there any discussion on this action item? And Mr. McTiernan, do you think you could outline this action item for us before we vote on it?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that initially the school district became aware of Mr. May as he applied for the principal position at the school. And all of the individuals that were interviewing him were very, very impressed. And in fact, all voted to request that he come back as a candidate to be considered for the vice principal position. Interestingly, that position was not without its competition, is that Mr. May went through an extensive second interview process with the Clinton Township School District. Tim is smiling, Suhai is smiling, because they've been through that also. And the result of that discussion and interview was that Mr. May was selected to be the vice principal candidate that we're considering or voting on for his position this evening. Mr. May was found to be very competitive. He met all of the requirements of the school district, all of the advertisements that are required for posting a position, looking at candidates, vetting those candidates, interviewing those candidates, and deciding on who should be selected were followed as per board policies, processes, and procedures, and Mr. May was selected. So with that, we'd like to put forward Mr. May's hiring.
Okay, any other discussion on PN 045? Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries. Congratulations.
Okay, congratulations. Yes. Thank you very much, and thank you for being so patient tonight, and welcome to Clinton Township School District. We look forward to working with you.
Doesn't this begin his final interview process?
You want to ask him some questions?
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. May?
Welcome. Okay. Have a good night.
We know that you all have a meeting early tomorrow morning that you need to prepare for, so unless there's any objection, if the school administrators would like to go at this time, understanding your early start tomorrow morning, I think that would be something I would not be opposed to.
I'm jealous.
Well, thank you very much for hanging in there with us tonight.
Good night, everybody.
Make sure they release you quickly.
Congratulations. Good night. Congratulations, good night. Mr. May.
It's just us now.
Okay, we're moving back to the report of the school business administrator, Heather Spitzer.
You see before you tonight the minutes of the July 29th board meeting as well as the executive session meeting minutes. Our next board meeting will be held here on September 23rd at 7:30. Included also in your report is the June 30th secretaries and treasurers reports. These are preliminary. The auditors will be in to do their final review in September, at which time we will adopt final June 30th with any auditor recommendations or entries that need to be booked at that time. So you may see June one more time as a final. And that's all I have.
Okay, we're seeking a motion on 14BA003 through 14BA006.
So moved.
By Mr. Malloy and a second.
Second.
By Mr. McTiernan. Any discussion on the BA action items? Okay, seeing none. Mrs. Spitzer, could we please have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes. On action item 14BA003, I need to abstain from the executive session.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes, on everything except the executive session minutes on July 29th.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to committee reports. Kevin Malloy is the chair of our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Malloy, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Thank you, yes. The Facilities and Finance Committee met this past August 19th to go over a group of various issues that we've been talking about for the past few months. I'll go through the highlights in the interest of time. There is a motion on the agenda tonight to move funds from capital reserves to fund architect fees for construction projects as approved at our last meeting. I believe that is FF041. The safety and security upgrades for our school buildings continue, and those are being worked on over the summer, and we've had a lot of progress on that. Some of the things you'll notice, some of them you might not. The landscaping at Round Valley School is done. The breezeway and the outside has been cleaned up. There is news to report on the barn, and basically, through the intrepid work of our business administrator, Heather Spitzer, we were able to get a meeting of every single regulatory agency permitted to operate in the Garden State to get this thing moving forward. And a meeting was held that involved, I'm going to get this right, FEMA, the New Jersey DEP, the New Jersey Historical Preservation Society, including a forensic archaeologist, and our contractor. The net result of which is, and Mrs. Spitzer, please correct me if I get this wrong, cleanup will begin on September the 9th. Now, unfortunately, that is not prior to the school year starting, and I know we said that we were going to do that, but when you are acting, coordinating 3,477 agencies, I think September 9th actually works. There will also, the archaeologist is there to see if there's anything of historical nature, which we will be donating to the Clinton Historical Society for their use as they see fit. We have a motion tonight for installing fencing, aluminum fencing at SRS, as dictated by the safety and security plan and our architects. I believe it's SRS, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Good, got that one right. There are also motions on two transportation routes for some of students with individualized lesson plans and special needs that you'll see. Apart from that, you still, I assume, if the parents in the district have all received their transportation emails and letters, they went out. I believe the cafeteria system letters have also gone out, outlining the new system. No. They have not gone out?
They have not. We want to test it
before
we send out everyone's ID.
Okay, so that's a good
thing. Recruited,
so we'll be doing a test. But to
board members to do that.
Okay, good. To refresh the memory of those, the system being implemented is actually a bit more user-friendly in terms of paying for the students' meals. It does accept credit cards as opposed to PayPal. It carries over. It's just a little bit easier to administrate and manage. So forgive me for misspeaking, but once the beta testing is complete, the letters will go out on how that works. So that is the report of the Facilities and Finance Committee. With that, I seek a motion on action items 14FF035 through 14FF046.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
So, Mr. Freda and Mr. Higgins. Okay, we have a motion and a second on FF035 through 046. Is there any discussion on these action items?
On 040, can we get clarification that this approves a contract? Is that something new? Is that, I don't recall discussing that in committee. I could be wrong.
This is, I think, the one that you had looked into for me.
Celebrate the children?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize.
I didn't know.
I'm just looking for some clarification, I guess.
May I answer?
Yeah, please.
This is a student that previously was out of district
at
another school system.
They are a special education school out of district. I just saw it in the paper. I believe that they just booked property in Denville, the old Foundation for the Blind, as a matter of fact. They're a school that's been around for a while, though, and so this is a separate contract with them for a special education student.
This is not a new out-of-district placement. It's an existing
transfer.
It's a transfer.
So it really
it's budgeted.
It's budgeted.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not outside the budget.
Okay, thank you. And then I had a question on 046. I see the May minutes have not been put on the website. They haven't been approved, I guess. They've been approved, but they're not on the website, the May minutes.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, is that the reason why, because we're looking to amend the prior motion, or is that just it never got put on there?
No, I'm not sure, but I will have it posted tomorrow.
Okay. I wasn't sure if this was the rationale for it.
No.
Okay.
That is not the reason why.
Thank you.
The only other discussion that I would like to bring up is that the issue with the barn, that while we're discussing this, I sent a note out that the committee made a recommendation concerning not rebuilding on that site for the future due to the cumbersome aspect of rebuilding a facility on that property with all the different agencies involved. And so FEMA has asked us to send a letter basically saying that we're informing them that Clinton Township School District has made a decision not to reconstruct the barn on that particular site, and so we would not require FEMA money for that reconstruction. Remember, we have insurance money that is paying for that reconstruction. So I just wanted to make sure that the board is recommending that we move forward with that FEMA letter, so that I can send that forward with the full board's recommendation. Is there any concern about that? We have the insurance money to rebuild elsewhere, and we can choose a site or multiple sites at a later date.
Understood.
That's good.
Okay.
I have a question or comment on that same topic. The barn, not the FEMA money. We had talked about donating any salvageable material to the Clinton Township Historic Preservation Committee. We have a committee recommendation on that. The only thought I had on it was, we would want that donation of the materials to be for historical preservation use. If there's a use for it, I think we should donate. If it's going to be liquidated, we could do that ourselves. So the purpose of the donation is to make the materials available for historic preservation purposes. I don't know exactly how to couch that in a donation, or maybe it's a discussion we can have. But there was, at some points in time, there was a lot of interest in salvage value of that building. I think we're saying it's a historic building in the community. We would like to give it to that committee so that they could put it to best use. I just would like that to be a historic preservation use and not a liquidation or sale for salvage value.
Well, when we send them the letter offering that, we can say that specifically in the letter to the group, because we'll have to have a timeline for them to pick up any of that material, because we can't just leave it there. So as the contractor is cleaning up, we'll put certain things aside and give them a timeline that they can pick up those materials at that time for this purpose.
And should we discuss with them, because what we don't set aside will be scrapped. It'll go away. Should we ask them what they're interested in before we decide for them what has historic value?
As far as I know, the only thing, I can have that discussion with them. The only thing that they have mentioned specifically to me is that there were some doors stored in that building that they are concerned about. I don't know what their condition is at this point, but certainly they've made me aware of those doors.
I think if memory serves, that's the only thing that they've expressed an interest in at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
at this time, yes.
And also, too, there will be a representative with FEMA from a historian and an archaeologist on site during the debris removal, and they will dictate what is salvageable and what is not salvageable. So if it's something, we are not responsible to make it, usable.
Yeah.
Like, we aren't responsible for taking out nails and those types of things. Our responsibility is to salvage as best we can for historical repurposing, not for resale, and they were very specific about that in our meeting.
Okay, so it sounds like we just have to coordinate closely with historic preservation, because if they don't take it,
then it will be scrapped.
It'll be scrapped.
That is correct.
What if it has historical value by their assessment?
It's the the historian will determine, and they were very clear that we were to establish deadlines and time frames in which they would be able to come and pick up the debris because of the situation of it being a school district and safety and all of those types of things. So we did discuss
all of those things.
They'll
have a historian on site who will tell us what
we should
put aside, yes.
But if the historic preservation doesn't want them, what do we do with the beams? Do they potentially
then they're scrapped. No, they're scrapped.
Okay.
That's correct. We are not responsible beyond a certain time frame. And we will communicate that as well with
in a forward-looking view, can the Facilities and Finance Committee, as you relocate the footprint, give careful and thoughtful consideration to any possibility to increase parking capabilities on the school site?
I hear what you're saying.
Of course.
With the architect?
Certainly. Yeah, we'll be working with the architect. I think, that's going to bear consideration. And the second would be not to rebuild the barn in the middle of a place where a bunch of sort of extra district agencies have jurisdiction over who, what, where, when, and why.
Yes.
But the parking issue is something I'm glad you brought up, and it certainly would merit consideration.
I'm sorry, I have one more comment on the FF action items. FF042, the fence at Spruce Run. I just wanted to discuss it a little bit before we moved it. I had some concern about the material. We're putting up some fencing at Spruce Run as part of the architect's recommendation as a school safety measure. So it's been on our list for some time, and it's gone out to bid. We've gotten proposals back, and it's here as an action item. My only thought when I read the specs on the fence was it's going to be a 1-inch galvanized steel fence dipped in aluminum so that it's smooth. So it doesn't have burrs on it from the galvanized. I just wasn't sure that a 1-inch aluminum fence blocking off all those open areas at Spruce Run, which I assume is going to be the insets,
mm-hmm.
I thought it would look kind of institutional, like a prison fence because of the silver tone to it. And I didn't know if we wanted to pursue looking at doing a colored fence, like a black vinyl dipped fence. It's more expensive, but I'm just trying to envision the school with this silver 1-inch fence surrounding it, and I wanted to just talk about it before we moved it.
One of the things that we talked about thinking that the galvanized fence would kind of blend in to the environment as opposed to a color or something sticking out more. We did get a price on it, so there is a difference in price, Heather. Refresh me what the black
material
vinyl would be?
Approximately $6,000 difference. I think it was $32,600.
So that's pretty much it. It's $6,000 to go with a black vinyl fence, or $27,000 to go with the aluminum dipped galvanized. But when this fence goes up, it's going to be there for a long time. I would mm-hmm. say, 30 years without thinking too hard. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it'll last that long.
And I just wanted to think about it before we put up that silver fence. If you can try and envision what it would look like at that school versus black. I just find that black blends. You can see through it, and the bright silvers, you can't. They really catch your eye.
I personally think that we shouldn't be looking at this from an aesthetic point. There are other areas in the school that, personally, I feel that Patrick McGarren needs a gate, that road goes right from 31 to the back of that school. So I would prefer to spend that type of money on additional safety features for all of our students.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that was my 2 cents on it. Any other comments on the facilities and finance action items? Seeing none, Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to personnel and negotiations. Dan McTiernan is the chair of this committee. Mr. McTiernan, could you please summarize the activities of your committee?
Sure. The Personnel Negotiations Committee has been a little bit busy over the past month and will be even busier as we move into the school year. One of the things that we have accomplished in partnership with the association is that we have reached a contract, a memorandum of understanding on some of the key issues in regards to coming up with a new contract for the upcoming school year or the next three-year period. So the biggest issues have been at least to a stage where they can be voted on by the association. However, that does not resolve the full process or end the process. Many of the items within the contract still have language agreement requirements, and there are some other issues that, even though they may be a little bit smaller than the largest issues, also can be just as difficult to reach a decision on. So we've got some challenges in front of us, and in implementing a new contract, some of the more difficult or hard work lies in front of us on getting to make sure that we've got a good salary guide that's in place. So a lot of positive movement there. We're in the process of scheduling a couple of more meetings from the month of September, and hopefully can be in a position where the association is comfortable presenting to their membership a final contract for their vote and hopefully for their approval. The DEAC committee also has been busy in moving forward, and I'll just do a few short nutshells on that. Bobby Philippe is, of course, leading that effort. Bobby's not here any longer, as we've given the administrators time to get some rest before their meetings tomorrow morning. But a lot of focus is being placed right now on SGOs with our student growth objectives, and also on teacher evaluations and the relationships between the two. I believe on the first day of the teachers' meeting, which is scheduled for next week, is a full day to be spent on, well, not 100% of the day, but a significant portion of the day on SGOs and
tomorrow.
The evaluation process.
Tomorrow.
Yep. That's
student growth objective.
And the superintendent's been given 5 minutes to kick it off. I almost want to come to hear that part. With that, if you look on the agenda, we started off here with 32 items for approval. We're now going to remove two of those. One of them has already been approved. That's 046, I believe. That we did.
Five.
And also, please note that item 57 and 54 are duplicates, so we're going to strike item PN, there's 14PN-57. With that, that leaves us with now 30 items to approve, affecting roughly 139 people within the district. The first four we have, 041 through 044, are resignations that took place during the summertime. We're looking to approve those. We also have from 045 through 060 is 17 new employees. One, we, of course, the assistant principal, we've already approved. We have 9 teachers and TAs, 3 lunch aides, 2 school secretaries that are replacements, and 1 bus aide. We have 061 through 066 is for 92 substitutes in running the school. We need to make sure that not only is the school ready and fully functional on day one, but that as events occur during the year for a variety of reasons, that there are substitutes in place and ready to take over to continue the school year. 68 of those are substitute teachers or teaching assistants, 5 are secretaries, 1 is a librarian, we have 4 nurses, 6 lunch aides, and 8 custodians. We're also submitting, which is item 067, is a new job description for a webmaster. We need to get some additional work done to support Jason and the efforts that are going underway today within the school system for web design and web implementation. We have 1 person, 068, going for some additional professional development. Hopefully we'll see more professional development assignments as we move through the school year. We have 1 intern to be approved, 069, and also 070 through 071, we have 9 mentors that are being approved. The mentors is a program really adopted by the state, whereby new teachers that are coming into the school system are assigned to a mentor that is an experienced teacher to help them learn the ins and outs of the school system. And we also have the balance of the items that are here are 16 curriculum chairs being approved. Most of the chairs, I believe, have been in those positions in the past. So with that, I'd like to submit these 30 items for board approval. Yes.
And the amendments, the changes?
Oh, there's amendments. Thank you. Yeah, there are a couple of amendments or corrections in here. Make sure I'm on the right page. Sorry about that. Make sure I've got the right one in front of me.
050.
050. I may have written them on the other one. I have multiple copies of the date. Excuse me. Good catch. Yeah, this is action item 14-PN050. What we want to do is correct that. As you're reading through this, we have a school secretary at step D should read at step A, and the money's amount should read 18,122 or $18,122. And also on action item 14-PN056, there is an addendum. We need to change the teaching assistant where it's in parens new position. That's a replacement position, not a new position. Did I miss another one?
No, that would be all.
That's it. And that's it. So please, with those changes, I would submit these items for approval and voting.
Okay, so Dan, the only two that we're not going to move right now is 045, which we moved, and 057, which we're striking.
Which we're striking,
just
correct.
Those two? Okay. Okay, so we're seeking a motion to move PN 041 through 044, PN 046 through 056, and PN 058 through 072.
I'll make that motion.
So a motion by Dan McTiernan.
Second.
By Maria Grant. So we have a motion and a second on those PN action items. Is there any discussion? I have one. There was we have several new positions in the PNN action items. Some are replacements and some are new. Those that are not replacements, can I just confirm that these were covered in the budgeting process that we went through for 12-13?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes,
is that
including
right?
Including yeah. The job description for the webmaster.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Was also included in the budgeting process as an additional stipend.
Okay. Any other discussion on the PNN action items? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Spitzer, can we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the Policy and Curriculum Committee. Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of this committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Yes, I can. Our committee met this evening prior to the board meeting for approximately an hour and a half, where we discussed some revisions to our curriculum. Before I get to that, I need to point out that action item 14, PC002, is a revision to our school calendar. I don't know, Heather, but did we put copies of the revised calendar up for the public? So
it's part of the public packet, yes.
Okay. So at our last board meeting, we noted that Yom Kippur is on Friday, September 13th, and does not start until sundown. So our committee, after discussing it with the CTEA and our administration, decided to make an amendment to our calendar, and we are no longer going to have off on September 13th. Which would in turn mean that our end of school date would now be Tuesday the 17th. So we'll get out one day earlier. So that should also be available on our website for parents who would like to review the revised calendar. The curriculum that we looked at tonight with Mrs. Philippe, who's no longer here, focused on math in grades 6 through 8. There are going to be several revisions to the Common Core, which the teachers have been working hard on over the summer. In addition to that, there were some minor revisions to K through 5 curriculum. We also discussed looking at some new math materials to align with the Common Core. The math teachers in grades 6 through 8 are going to be looking through various curricular resources and making recommendations to our committee, so there'll be more information on that hopefully later in the fall. We haven't discussed any policy in curriculum lately, but we will be looking at the bylaws as the new election has changed. So look for that next month. And with that, I will move action items 14PC002 through 004.
We need a second on those action items? I'll second. So we have a motion and a second on the policy and curriculum action items. Any discussion?
I was wondering, we've made the change in the calendar, and just wondering, since we've changed that, the Yom Kippur Day, if somehow we could communicate that to parents, because over the last couple of weeks I've gotten some phone calls from people to say, I hear you're changing it, are you doing it? I want to set up, you know, time off or vacation or whatever. And I think it's important. This is a change that people need to be aware of, so can we do that?
I can do an email alert tomorrow.
That'd be great. Thank you. You know, I wonder if everybody's on vacation this week. I wonder if we, you know, if maybe we do it next week.
Okay.
Or do it twice.
Or do it twice.
This week and once in the Friday, the e-blast, because I'm sure they'll start that up next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
A parent spoke to me when we had the break. She couldn't stay for the meeting, but she gave a heads up that not all of our calendars were identical regarding the Yom Kippur holiday. I explained that we were voting on it tonight, but just we have several calendars. Each school has one. And then we have the BOE calendar on the main page, just to make sure that I think potentially we can have five calendars
on the
online. Yeah.
The PTA calendar may be affected as well, because the PTA publishes a calendar
mm-hmm.
still. It's not as mass. It doesn't have mass distribution in the way it used to. We probably should contact Gina.
I'll have Sherry contact.
Let her know.
And I would also just want to comment that I have gotten some feedback on the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur holidays from some parents in the community that would like to see at least one of those days as a school holiday. And I had encouraged them when I've heard from them that when the school calendar draft is published, that we'd really like them to communicate with the board, either to come to the board meetings or send an email, just so we can consider everybody's input before voting on the new calendar.
I think it's also important to note that we are trying as much as possible to align with the North Hunterdon Regional School District calendar.
Yep, and actually, you know, when I'm asked about the calendar, not everybody's aware of that, so that's another rationale behind how we build our calendar, so that's a good point. Okay. Is there any other discussion on the policy and curriculum action items? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Spitzer, could we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Moving on to the Communications Committee, Maria Grant is the chair of this committee. Mrs. Grant, could you give us a report of the activities of your committee?
Sure. We've worked pretty hard the last couple of weeks to put together a staff breakfast to be provided to our staff tomorrow morning as they come back to school for the first day. So we've set that up. We're looking to get an appointment or some times with Dr. Clark in the month of September between back-to-school nights, negotiation committee meetings, and whatever else on our calendar, if possible, to start talking about the Clinton Township newsletter and exploring some options to work on those pages as well as for the website, too. So right now we've only been really working on the staff breakfast, and then in September we will start working on those other two projects in earnest.
Okay. Thank you. There's no action items, but is there any discussion on the Communications Committee tonight? Okay. Seeing none, we're moving on to old business. This is an opportunity for board members to bring up old business from previous agenda.
I have old business. We've been talking for several months. I know I've brought it up in my committee multiple times, that we as a board don't have any current board goals, and I would like to see us get a date on the calendar to write board goals for the year.
Make a retreat?
A special meeting, something.
Yeah, it would have to be a special meeting. It's a public meeting. In the past, we've done them on Saturdays. There was some discussion that weeknight would be preferable. Is there any feedback from anybody here when they would like to do the board retreat, weekend or weeknight?
Weekends are tough.
Taking into consideration the
shoot for weeknights.
Calendar. The preference is weeknights.
I have children. That's my preference. I can't speak for anybody else.
Anybody else have a preference for weeknights or Saturday?
Saturdays would not be good for me coming into soccer season.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I have multiple sports commitments on Saturday, so. But weeknights are a little harder to schedule, primarily based on Dr.
Well, the month of September is a little tricky because of all the back-to-school nights. I was just looking to see if there's any night.
Good luck.
With the turnover that's coming, would you do that before or after the new year? For new members?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
When?
With the turnover coming.
I think that they should be in place for the year, and the school year is starting, so. I mean, it should have been done months ago.
These would be board goals for the academic year, not the board year, correct?
I believe so. That's typically how they do
it. That's usually how we do it, right?
Classically the board year.
Yeah.
You would say typically the board year?
Mm-hmm. If September is shot, and it is.
We know that because we just tried to pick a PNC meeting in September.
Yeah, it's not. There's too much going on with schools. If we have to do it in September, I think Saturday or Sunday would be better. Otherwise, a weeknight in October.
I think early October, because then by the next meeting, we will have the appointment of the next board member.
September 30th, a Monday night.
I can't see that far out yet. Who knows where I'll be.
Our next board meeting is when, September?
The week
23rd.
There's five Mondays in September. Mrs. Spitzer, could you or Tracy potentially help organize the board members to pick a date that works for Dr. Clark as well?
Sure. Is this something you want to do through school boards, or is it something you want to do with the representative you had last year?
I think Dr. Fiander was fabulous and would highly recommend that she come back. And
so I have to coordinate with her calendar as well. So I'll get some dates from her first and shoot them out.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to start. I mean, the first thing to do would be to compare them to Dr. Clark's calendar, and then
right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. September 30th is the first date that I would say we have.
And that's a Monday night.
Monday night. I only say Monday night because most board members try and keep Monday nights free. Mm-hmm. So that would be my first suggestion to go with.
Okay.
Dr. Fiander charges a fee, but I think last time she donated it back.
She donated everything.
Right, okay.
Yeah, back to the foundation.
That's commendable, so it doesn't cost it.
Okay. Okay, any other old business?
I have more. As the chair of the Policy and Curriculum Committee, I just wanted to remind the whole board that we had adopted a board code of ethics, and that we had said that we wanted the board code of ethics out at every board meeting, and we wanted a process guardian. And I think we've gotten away from that. So just as a reminder, could we...
I don't think we've ever actually started.
Have that in place?
Yeah, we actually did use that for several months, and we have gotten away from it.
Well, of course, things are going smooth. I mean, the board now is different than the board in the past.
Right,
no
so
disrespect to anybody, but... This is a better functional board, and the process guardian really, I believe, is moot. But
it's part of a policy I think we all voted on, so it's probably not a bad idea to continue with what our policy says.
Okay. The policy references assigning a process guardian and giving them a copy of the code of ethics to have with them during the board meeting, so if anybody gets out of line, they're reminded of the code of ethics. So it hasn't been necessary, but I take your point, so we can reinstitute that for the next board meeting.
We also had two people, Robert's Rules. I think, Maria, you were one of them, and Michelle Sullivan was another one. Mm-hmm. Our former board president did that, Robert's Rules, experts.
Job opportunity for the candidates.
I don't know.
I need to replace that person.
I don't know if it's just Maria now, or I know she's busy, but...
I don't know, Mark. I hear you volunteering.
I'm just saying, are we still doing it? I don't know. Is it still on the table as a...
Kevin, I was also wondering, too, this is not in the policy, but we had talked about just having a copy of the conduct of the board and our core values at each place setting for each I was going to say meal, because I'm thinking of it at dinner place. If we could have it at each individual setting, we had talked about doing that and did that for one meeting, I think, maybe two. And
well, no, Mrs. Spitzer had laminated and given each board member a copy to bring.
Okay.
I didn't think she was going to
do it every meeting.
Put it out for every meeting.
Good.
But we do, at times, when we've made the assignment of the process guardian, struggled to come up with who had their copy. So
maybe we should always have a copy available.
You can have one available.
One available.
One of the,
I always have one with me.
One of the laminated copies, and we'll just distribute that for that meeting. Okay, any other old business?
I'm done now.
You sure?
You don't have to go.
No, but I have to come for the breakfast tomorrow and slice after 50 bagels.
New business?
Time to get the bagel.
Does anyone on the board have any new business? Seeing none, moving on to the second recognition of the public. This is the third opportunity of the public to speak. This can be on any topic. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. If you'd like to speak to the Board of Education, please just approach the mic and tell us your name and where you live.
I had a quick question about the upcoming construction and how it will affect and impact the students and the traffic patterns.
For the barn cleanup?
For the middle school and Spruce Run.
Mrs. Spitzer, I don't think we're anticipating any material impact to the students or bus or
students,
bus
but
traffic.
But just like, I know this is also where you come in.
You mean
where
car?
We come in. Car.
So not necessarily the buses, but the private.
Yes, not the buses, but the car pickup, and because I'm assuming that trucks are going to have to go somewhere. And
the fence project, for example, is actually going to move pretty quickly.
That's what I figured.
The barn cleanup should proceed fairly quickly. We're actually not in. We didn't see a need or anticipate a need, nor did our architects, for any redirection of traffic or anything. Correct. So I'm not. Yep.
Kevin, if I can just add, the places, if I remember correctly, where the fences are going to go in are on the side of the school, and so that should not impede the buses at all.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if there's going to be an intrusion.
But in case anybody's ever dropped their child off at SRS late, you know, and the cars do go in the back, so I think that's, yeah. I don't think we see a change in the traffic.
We anticipate the fences being installed relatively quickly once the materials are in. The longest part of the process, after speaking with the contractor this morning, is having the gas lines marked to make sure that we don't hit the gas lines, and that requires 3 days notice. Mm-hmm. Once that is done, he anticipates having them in within a week, so it will be a relatively quick process.
Okay. And the barn clearing?
I'm hoping for the same with that. We plan on using, it's very specific with what we can do with the barn because we do have several archaeological covenants on the property, as well as we have a restriction for wetlands as well. So there's only certain places that they can put the materials. Okay. So it might be a little tricky. We're going to plan as best we can and hopefully get them in and out.
And remember, in the unlikely event that the buses are delayed per your transportation, we've got a very, very state-of-the-art real-time communication system installed with the buses this year. So you call the transportation coordinator, and that transportation coordinator can get on a two-way and find out exactly where your child's bus is at any one time as well. So,
I was just wondering for a case for pickup or drop-off.
No.
Any anticipated extra time. I need that.
I think, and if we do discover that, I think, and I don't want to put words in Maria's mouth as chair of communications committee, we'll be sending out something on that if we anticipate it. But okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mrs. Brennan. Could we ask? I'm thinking of the barn. The buses drop off at CTMS fairly early. What time do they get out of there? Typically, slightly after.
They drop them off around 7:30, 7:35.
They're gone by 8:00.
Before 8:00.
I mean, it might not be a bad idea not to have truck traffic while they're trying to get in and get out. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had that experience at McGarren when they were doing work on the road right at school drop-off time. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
The traffic was backed up past 22 into Lebanon Borough. just because they were doing a water pipe right at that house on the corner. Remember that? But maybe we can ask the contractor, could he start after the buses are gone?
and maybe even the fence vendor. I don't know. That's a later drop-off. That's...
Yeah,
the spruce drop-off is very late relative to CTMS.
I will talk to him about these concerns, though, as well, and see what we can do.
8:30, 8:40.
Okay, we're still in second recognition of the public. Does anyone else from the public, if you'd like to speak to the board, please approach the mic. Okay, seeing none, and thank you all for hanging in there. We're moving on to an executive session. We're going to go into executive session to discuss collective bargaining. Mrs. Spitzer, will you please read the notice?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 90 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the Board of Education declared that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reasons for confidentiality no longer exists. No action will be taken upon return.
Okay, so now the board's going to go into executive session. The estimated time is 90 minutes. When we return, no action will be taken. So thank you all for coming tonight. I'm seeking a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
By Rachel McLaughlin.
Oh, you are.
Enthusiastically. And a second?
Second.
Seconded.
By John? So the time is 11:02, and we're going to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session.
Have fun!